This week's great sermon from Fundamentalism is Bulldog Christianity, preached by Jeff Owens. It is interesting, as you listen to this sermon, that Jeff Owens hits all the typical points of righteousness in the fundamentalist world of righteousness: how you dress, which translation of the Bible you read, what music you listen to, whether you go soul winning or not. But in Colossians chapter 3, which is the passage where this sermon's verse is found, Paul says, don't live in terms of worldly appetites and worldly passions, and he names anger, lust, and blasphemy. Instead, he writes, Christians cultivate the passions and appetites of heaven, mercy, kindness, love. But you will not see mercy, kindness, and love spoken about in this sermon. You'll see a dress code, a music code, a translation code, a soul-winning code, but not mercy, kindness, love.
Just one verse. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 23 says this, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men.
Here is the context of the verse. Colossians begins with our blessings in Christ and the freedom he has given us from the law. In chapter 3, Paul moves from the foundation of what we have in Christ to the way that we are now to live in Christ. The central theme of chapter 3 is to live in terms of Christ and not in terms of this present world. Paul begins with exhorting them to set their hearts on heaven and take them off from this world. Don't live in terms of worldly appetite and worldly passions, anger, lust, blasphemy. Instead, Christians cultivate the passions and appetites of heaven, mercy, kindness, love. The central verse of the passage, if not the entire book, is chapter 3, verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. The source of the passionate Christian life is knowing Christ through his word, speaking of Christ, singing of Christ, having a life in Christ. Increasing knowledge of Christ is the root of increasing love of him, because the more we know him, the more clearly we see what he has purchased for us by his blood. Christians have a vast heavenly estate given to them in Christ. Colossians is about living in terms of that great inheritance and learning what we actually possess. Again, to preach in subjection to the Word of God, the preacher must let the Bible speak for itself. He must show how the text he has chosen supports the central theme of the book in which it is found. He must show how that book supports the great central theme of the Bible. The most obvious sermon outline I can find is this: Christ, the center of our liberty; Christ, the center of our inheritance; Christ, the center of our actions. Owens tells a story about his aunt's dog Buttons, a bulldog. He keeps pictures of Buttons in his Bible. He liked Buttons because Buttons had so much energy. He talks about a ball being covered with slobber when Buttons brought it back. Buttons would let people play ball with her, but the shoe that was her toy was her own toy, and she didn't share it. She was very possessive of the shoe. He goes on and on about wrestling for the shoe with Buttons. Then he tells the story about another similar dog who was just that possessive with a stick. We're at 8:03, and no reference back to Colossians, no mention of Christ. But at 8:04, he says America needs bulldog Christianity. I realize that this is just another version of Jack Hiles's Don't Quit sermon. Owens complains about soft Christians and quitters. He talks about having to toughen up Christians. He tells listeners they need to become bulldogs for Jesus Christ. Let me guess. You become tough for Christ by not wearing slacks, not growing hair long, not going to movies, not listening to rock music. He actually says that if you're going to become a bulldog Christian, you're going to have to choose to do it.
If you're going to become a bulldog Christian, you're going to have to choose to do it. You need to choose to get tough with yourself.
While I see there is an element of cooperation, submission, and obedience to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, if Owens takes this strategy only this far, he's completely wrong. You do have to assent, submit, etc. to God's way, but you still won't obey simply by willing to obey. As the Bible says, the just shall live by faith. Owen says he is going to stand apart from the crowd.
And I'm not trying to be vain or arrogant. You just check up on anybody that knows me. I don't need anybody's help to do right.
The Bible says that the church itself has been ordained because Christians need help to do right. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul specifically says that believers in the church are given different gifts for the saints to be perfected, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. We all need Christ, of course, and I think Jeff Owens is acknowledging that in this sermon, that we need Christ to live righteous lives, but no Christian is able to do right in isolation. So God has ordained helps for us through the church, and that includes other people in the church. Even baptism and the Lord's table are given to us for our help because we need help, and Jeff Owens needs help in order to do right. Even at this point, if Owens is simply talking about determination and the need to see how clearly the lines of battle between Christianity and the world are drawn, I wouldn't dispute with him. I may not like his method, but if he were to take the next step and talk about faith in Christ, the knowledge of Christ that is our lifeline, I would still assent that the sermon has value. However, he goes on to not quitting school. He is giving good worldly advice, solid inspirational stuff. This is what makes an inspirational speaker inspirational. But he has not yet approached Christ and the throne of grace, which is our right and our spiritual lifeline. Then he gets on to remaining a virgin, both boys and girls. Earlier, he said he thinks the kids love God, but now he says that the kids should not be dating because they don't love Christ. Again, with sound counsel of this world, he says that you really can't learn about love unless you love God, your mother, and your father. He's right, but I doubt any teenager is that mature anyway. He talks about purity, saying you can decide you can be pure from this day forward. He does give a good and solid quote that I like.
Let me say something to some of you Pharisees. You look down your nose at somebody that made a mistake. If it were not for the grace and the mercy of Almighty God, you too would not be pure. You too would be a drunk and a drug addict. Hey, you're not such a hot shot. You got a hot shot God. If there's something good about you, it's not you. It's my God being merciful to you.
But then he gets into fleshly wisdom and says they get pure by grabbing purity and hanging on to it.
You grab a hold of that thing called purity, and you grab it like Buttons did that shoe and say, I'm not going to let go of this thing. I'm going to stay pure, no matter what it takes.
Owens has hit some of the thinking, temptations, guilt, and grief that really are part of teenage life. But he reminds me of Jesse Jackson in this regard. Jesse Jackson used to go to high schools and say this stuff, pretty much the same thing. He even gave invitations, and the public schools let him do it. But it was based on a person, on his own strength and power, choosing before his or her peers and before the eyes of God to do the right thing. That's not the same thing as trusting Christ and growing in Christ through the Word of God.